We're doing Bikavot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the sixth Mishnah. Yoshua ben Prachia v'nitai arbeli kibelu mehem. So Yoshua ben Prachia was the Nasi. Nitai arbeli was the Av Bezdin. They received their tradition from Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, who received it from Antigone, who received it from Shimon HaTzadik, from Ezra Sofer. So we're four generations down from Ezra the scribe, right? Now, that's Yoshua ben Prachia, four generations from Ezra the scribe, approximately 150 years into the Second Temple, approximately 200 or 250 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. Now, what do we know about Yoshua ben Prachia? He was the Rebbe of Yeshu. So that puts Yeshu 200 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. Oh, okay. So then their Yeshu is not the Yeshu the Gemara spoke about. The Yeshu the Gemara spoke about was a disciple of Yoshua ben Prachia, which was over 200 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. So Yoshua ben Prachia omer. Yoshua ben Prachia says, Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a Rebbe. Uknei lecha chaver, and acquire for yourself a friend. Vehevei dan et kol haadam lechaf zechut, and judge every human being favorably. Okay, what a Mishnah. For sure, yes.
So it's possible
that they could be, or there was whoever they call Yeshu has nothing to do with whoever the Gemara calls Yeshu, which is what Nachmanides says in his disputation, which is available online on Machon Meir's website and on 123torah.org.
So didn't say when Rabbi Yeshua pushed him away with both hands, Yeshu took a brick out of the wall and threw it down to it?
Right, okay. There were a lot of wackos in world history. Oh, so why do I call them wackos? Because there's another Gemara that discusses Yeshu carving things on his hand in order to remember them. And over there, the Gemara says he was crazy. The question is, okay, there are many questions, a lot to discuss. Back to our, Mishnah. So Yoshua ben Prachia says, Yoshua ben Prachia, Nitai Arbeli received from them, they received their tradition from Yosef ben Yezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. Yoshua ben Prachia omer, Asei lecha rav, Shafilu ata yodea kmoto, Asei lo torav alecha. Even if you think, and you know as much as he does, make him your Rebbe. Huh? What does that mean? But I know as much as he does. But make him your Rebbe. How can I make him my Rebbe? Mipnei she'adam zachar or zocher ma shelamad merabo yoter mima she'adam lomed ma'atzmo. If you have a Rebbe who you learn from, you will retain it better than if you learn alone. I had a Shaila that came up today. I had a friend who quoted to me a tshuva 15 years ago. If I would have learned that tshuva inside, I don't think I would have remembered it. But because I heard it from someone else 15 years ago, I still remembered it. I said to the person who asked, I said, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva on that. We remember things differently if we accept from someone. And so even if he's my equal, we're chavrusas. But I will benefit if I have a Rebbe. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is not the only one that learns this pshat in the Mishnah. And that's what fits into the word so beautifully. It says, Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a teacher. What do I have to make him for? He is the teacher, no? No, we're talking about a scenario where you live out in the Midwest. It's you and he, and you both understand Kitzur Shulchan Aruch equally well. But if you're going to be willing to listen to him and learn from him, then you will benefit more than him, probably. Because you will learn, and you will also be able to learn from. And even though you know that you're on the same level, you will still benefit. Obviously, if you could get a Rebbe that knows more than you, that's better. But even this is worthwhile. So then you can't do it. You're stuck. ועוד כי פעמים יבין הדבר יותר ממנו ונמצא מלמדו ואפילו אם שניהם שווים בחוכמה. Sometimes he will understand better than you do. And if you've accepted him as a Rebbe, you're going to listen to him. And even if you're both equally smart, sometimes you will, he will understand things better than you. Now that's Rabbeinu Yonah. Do we have a Rambam here? Amicha, you asked the question. So let's see the Rambam on this Mishnah. Yes. Rambam says on this Mishnah, Asei lecha rav. Says the Rambam, Ritzono lomar afil lo yeh roi liot lecha rav. What the Mishnah means to say is, even if he's not fitting to be your Rebbe, not just your equals. Aval sim oto lecha lerav ad shetidame bo shu melamed. Make him your Rebbe until you can convince yourself he's the teacher. Even if you're equals, if you try to learn on your own and you don't feel like you're learning from someone, you're not going to get to the same place. Learning on your own is good. Learning from someone else, you're going to retain it even better. It ends up being clearer. If someone's teaching, you're asking, you're challenging, you're learning, he owes you an answer. You guys ever notice that when you ask a shayla, you feel like he's got an answer? And then you're waiting. Now I'm going to get the answer. Afilu haya kamo b'chokhma, o lemata himenu. The Rambam adds a point Rabbeinu Yonah didn't. The Rambam says, even if he's your equal or less, according to the Rambam, you'll still benefit from making him your Rebbe. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't say that, but the Rambam does. Okay? So I answered you according to Rabbeinu Yonah, but you should know the Rambam says differently. Nope.
Okay, so apparently there's one guy left because there was two, and then the other guy died away, and they interviewed this last Jew in Afghanistan, and he talked about how he didn't like the other guy. They didn't get along with him, and he was waiting for him to die. But in a situation like that, like if they're not getting along, and the rules of the situation, maybe like the one guy was like,
so then not. We're talking about whether it's someone you could learn from. You're not. He means less, but within a realm that's normal. It makes sense. Ukne lecha chaver, acquire for you a friend. Lishlosha dvarim tzeich adam et chaver atov. A person needs a good friend for three things. Ha'achad lidvrei Torah. One is for Torah, כמו שאמר, הרבה למדתי מרבותיי, מחברי יותר מרבותיי. The Talmud tells us in Tanis that I learned a lot from my friends and even I learned a lot from my teachers and even more from my friends. A good friend, you will learn from more than your teacher. והשני למצוות. So, friends are good, you can learn from them. Number two, for mitzvos. שאף כשאין חברו חסיד ממנו. Are you guys awake or sleeping? Oh, wait, so didn't I just contradict myself? Oh, so why didn't anyone ask? Okay, first I'm happy you noticed I contradicted myself, but it's not me, I'm quoting him. So now answer the question. What did Rabbeinu Yonah say? It's not fair because you don't have the text in front of you. And also we confuse things a little bit with the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah said you will retain what you learn better. He didn't say you will learn more. That was the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam said you will learn more. The Rabbeinu Yonah said you will understand better, you will retain better. But as far as learning, you could learn more from a friend. If you look closely, the Rabbeinu Yonah used three different terms: to remember, to understand, and to learn. So when it comes to remembering, you'll remember better if you hear it from someone else who you feel you could gain from. When it comes to understanding, you'll understand better when someone you take someone and you say, okay, he said, I'll ask, he said, but he's my Rebbe, so I'm expecting answers from him, like Yaakov just said. But when it comes to actually learning, so then that You know, if we're equals and we're fighting, we're going to end up learning more. Okay? This is within the text. If I had to explain from my own logic, I would say a different interpretation. But I'm just saying, the first interpretation, the first understanding in the contradiction, I first look at the words. What were the words that Rabbeinu Yonah used? When it comes to just theoretical understanding, I would say it's much easier to find a friend than it is to find a Rebbe. If you're going to have to choose, think about all your friends here. Imagine you're all on an island. You have to choose a Rebbe. It's not going to be so easy. Friend? No, I could be friends with him and with him and with him. But to make him my Rebbe, I'm going to ask him. He's going to answer me. That's much harder. Maybe that's why that's first in the Mishnah. But okay, but that's my own. That I don't have any basis for that in the Rabbeinu Yonah. That's my own interpretation between the lines. V'asheni le'mitzvot. So we said there are three benefits from having a friend. One is that you actually learn more from a friend, your chavrusa. Your chavrusa. Chavrusa. You should always have a chavrusa. Even if it's a two-minute chavrusa. You should always have a chavrusa. I told you guys the story of my two-minute chavrusa. My two-minute chavrusa. It's going to be 6 years now. 6 years ago, Shlomo was born. You guys know Shlomo, some of you. He was born prematurely. He was in the neonatal intensive care unit for a period. And we were with him. So I see a few beds down on the same day he's born, and I'm there with him. I see a few beds down, a father with his baby crying for hours. And the next day I see him standing there crying. And by the third day I feel bad. I walk over, we start talking, and we become friendly. And after a week that we're in the hospital together, I said to him, you know, the baby isn't talking to us. Half the time we're here, we're just keeping an eye on him. The babies are sleeping. We should have a chavrusa together. We should do something productive with our time. We're here, but there are times where you can't do anything. You're just standing there. So let's make a chavrusa. So we started learning. And then we got discharged. We don't live in the same neighborhood. So we said, we got to keep it up. So we started a night chavrusa, 2 to 3 minutes a night. We began with the Chafetz Chaim, Shmir Salashon. Finished that. Chafetz Chaim, finished that. Avos Rabbi Nosson, finished that. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, finished that. Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, finished that. Rambanan Sefer HaMitzvos, finished that. You could go online. Everything other than the Chafetz Chaim Shmir Salashon is there. From a 2 to 3 minute chavrusa. It's been 6 years now. We finished Seder Olam Rabba, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Avos Rabbi Nosson, Sefer HaMitzvos, 2 to 3 minutes a night. Go online and look at those oral readings. You'll see them there. I'm on the phone. I had the recorders running, but I'm on the phone with him. And I'm telling you, the Chafetz Chaim and Shmir Salashon, I needed to focus. I couldn't bother with recorders. So the first two Sfarim we learned aren't recorded.
Are you speaking back?
Yeah, sometimes you hear him. But most of the time, it's just we're reading through the Medrash. Or right now, we're working on Chochmas Adam. You could go online, you'll see the Chochmas Adam. We have a few chapters already there. So Avos Rabbi Nosson is on reading Avos Rabbi Nosson. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is under reading Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Seder Olam Rabba is probably under special classes. I don't think I made a special folder for the Medrash Seder Olam Rabba. What else did we do? I don't remember. Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos is under Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. Yeah. Baruch Hashem? Baruch Hashem, okay. I don't know, because I don't ask. As far as I know, okay. Right. He's at home, and he's growing, and Baruch Hashem, he seems okay. So at any rate, I'm just saying, you should always have a chavrusa. You guys, you can't overestimate the value of having that constant 2 minutes in your day, 3 minutes in your day. But you should have it, and then your whole day looks different. We don't learn every day. There are days that I miss. If I'm here till 2 in the morning, I'm not learning with him that night. I hope he's sleeping by the time I get home, right? I learn with him at the end of the day. Sometimes I'm with you guys Thursday nights. We're here till 1, 2 in the morning. I'm not learning with him on those nights. And even so, on most nights we learn. And the nights that we don't, I don't like going to bed as much. It's like I'm missing something before I could go to sleep. What?
It's the last Thursday.
Right. That was because that was an exception. And I learned with him last Thursday. Last Thursday I learned with him. But I'm saying... People were tired also from the Levi last week. But my point is, this Knei Lecha Chaver, the first aspect, your benefit of learning Torah, try it. Take the next 3 years, get a friend you could have a steady Chavrusa with, and our friendship developed over this. Ben Azmanim, we meet, he comes to the neighborhood Yom Ha'atzmaut to go to Merkaz Harav, so we meet, Yom Yerushalayim, we meet 3 or 4 times a year. The rest is all by phone. But after 6 years, you become a very good friend of the Chavrusa that's only over the phone. We meet usually Ben Azmanim to make a Siyam on whatever. Yeah, we don't have a Siyam every Ben Azmanim, but so you meet. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I had a Chavrusa with David Gabler, Zichrono Livracha. Most of you guys, I don't know if any of you remember him, when he left the country. So for about a year, every morning we'd have Chavrusa at about 6:30 my time, which was 10:30 his time. We'd learn, that's the recording, if you go online, the recording of Chovat HaTalmidim. And what else did we learn? Learned another fantastic work, I don't remember, but it's on there. For half a year, so long as he could do it. Then he enlisted in the army, it wasn't Shaykh. But it's doable. My point is, he was out in Oregon. I was here. But it was doable. It's doable. 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day, you could do it. Back to Rabbeinu Yonah. So the first benefit of acquiring a friend is Torah. You acquire a friend in Torah, you both grow. Hasheni, the second thing is lemitzvot. Shaf shen chavero chasid mimenu pamim shgamu usea shalo kadat. When it comes to mitzvot, even if your friend isn't as pious as you, and sometimes he doesn't even do what's right. When a person enjoys something, he sins. But he doesn't want his friend to do it. Like the Gemara tells us this concept, a person doesn't sin if there's nothing in it for him. There was a fantastic, one of you guys forwarded this to me, a fantastic video from China. China or Japan, maybe it was Japan, I don't remember. An Asian country, I'm sorry, I don't remember it. Was, you know, I couldn't read or understand, I was just reading the captions underneath. They showed kids walking over to people smoking with a cigarette, and asking them for a light. And each time, the person said to him, no, you shouldn't be doing this, and wouldn't give him a light. They went to this public place, and the kids tried going from person to person, and begging them, come on, give me a light. So you have this sweet 7-year-old, 9-year-old kid going to people who are in their 20s, and asking them, men and women, to give him a light. And they all insist, no, you shouldn't do it. And you see, I don't understand Chinese, but you see from this hidden camera how they talk sweetly to the kid, and they explain to them, you shouldn't be doing that. You have a life ahead of you. And then the kid gives them a piece of paper and walks away. And in that paper is written in whatever Asian language it was, you cared for my life, but what about your own? And then the video shows how the people are standing there with their cigarette. Like, what? No. Most of the people threw it away. Yeah, but you see how the people are suddenly, hey, they have to think about it. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia has a term for this. En adam chotev lo lo. I'm not going to sin for you. The only reason I sin is because I have something to gain from it. Well, if you have a friend, so then if a person would sin because he thinks he'll benefit from it, he's not going to do it. Well, for someone else, so if two people are friends and they both start smoking, so a good friend is going to tell you, you don't want to do that. Just like all those adults knew to tell the kids, you don't want to get into that habit. I had this interesting experience. my son at one point had a Rebbe who smoked. So the boy wanted to smoke. So I said to him, okay, interesting. So we started discussing this. And we got on a bus on our way. We were going for Shabbos. We were going here to Arnof. So we were coming from Arnof, I don't remember. And the young man gets on the bus behind us. And he doesn't have money to pay for the fare. He has a 200 shekel bill. The driver says, I don't have change. He goes around the bus. No one has change for him. So the guy tells the driver, okay, give me another few minutes. Someone will get on. I'll get change. I'll pay. This was back in the day before you had Ravkav and all that. Yes. So I see him sitting next to us, looking around the bus, pulling out a pack of cigarettes. I'm pulling out a cigarette. So I had change. I said to him, you want to sell me the pack? So he said, no. So I said, you want to sell me a few cigarettes? So he said, no. So I said, okay, but could I just borrow the pack? So he looked at me strangely. My son, I said to my son, you know, I wish you could see that pack of cigarettes. So he walked over to the guy and said, can I just look at your pack of cigarettes? So the man looks at me, what do you guys want from my life? I said to him, I want to explain to the kid what smoking is all about. So he said, fine. So I took the pack and I showed him. I said, you see over here it says smoking kills. And over here it says smoking kills. And the kid looks at the pack. Here in Israel, they write it very bluntly, smoking kills, right? Not surgeon's general warning, right? Smoking kills, right? So my kid looks at the pack and looks at this guy like, are you crazy? He gives him back the pack and he comes to me and he says, why would he do that? So now the guy looks at the kid and says, don't start. We have tremendous clarity when it comes to someone else. And when you have two people who are real friends, it's very easy to look out for the other guy. You ever notice how couples can watch over one another's diet very well? You shouldn't have that. Right? But they mean well. It's not just because he wants to be a nudnik or she wants to be a nudnik. It's because for you, I know not. You ever notice two friends sitting by the internet talking to one another? You know, we really should go to sleep. Yeah, we really should go to sleep. You know we're crazy? Yeah, we're insane. You know what time it is? I'm embarrassed to tell you what time it is. You ever watch two people sitting, two real friends sitting there talking? Go to sleep. And they mean it when they tell one another, I'll go in a minute, you go. If you mean well, so you could see through the fog for him. For me, I'm still reading.
We'll be really allowed to get upset when one another because of that. But really upset at, like, not talking to him, but, you know, within 2 days, a week or something. Like,
what Rabbeinu Yonah just tell us?
Huh?
Rabbeinu Yonah just said that real friends will help one another because I could see more clearly for him and he could see more clearly for me. And then we will both grow out of this. What? Well, it's also because you're not benefiting from the mistake. Meaning we're tempted by the here and now, the benefit we have now. One of the Hasidic Rebbes gave this as a tool for a person to overcome temptation. Let's say a person is contending with the challenge of going to sleep on time. Or he knows he has to check his email, but there's a good chance he's going to end up doing other things and wasting time. So he says, when you know you're faced with a challenge, tell your friend, I'm about to go into this challenging situation, and tomorrow I have to report to you what I did. It might be, but it might be a way of forcing us to face up with what we really believe we should be doing. In Stephen Covey's book on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he quotes that one of the TV stations did the following challenge. they invited people who wanted to lose weight, and they told them, okay, what time span? Let's say 3 months. How much weight do you want to lose? How much weight could you lose? Okay, here's the deal. We take a picture of you now, and if you've lost the weight you anticipate by that date, we don't publicize you. Get into a bathing suit. We take a picture of you in a bathing suit. And if you make the weight loss by that date, we don't post it on our show 3 months from now. You have 3 months to lose that weight. And if we have the picture of you in a bathing suit now, the way you don't want anyone to see you. If you lost the weight 3 months from now, you come on the show as a star and we don't publicize the picture from now. I think everyone but one person lost the weight. Why? Because we don't sense the positive results we will see in 3 months. When I have something which I sense, that really now, I sense the shame of what's going to happen if I don't do what I should do now, suddenly I have the willpower to contend with it. So it's a way of forcing myself by saying, I'm going to publicize what happened here. If every person knew, that's one of the shticks they do today, a positive shtick, where whatever you look online, your friend gets to see. They have this system, they call it Shomrim. Mm-hmm. There's someone else that has a miniature picture and a log of every site you visited. So people do this because they know, I'm going to behave myself if I know someone else is seeing. So I don't think it's a public vidui, it's a way of forcing myself to be a God-fearing person, because I'd love to sense God here and now, but it's hard. But if I know someone is here and now, well, that's easy. So that's the idea here. Vashlishi Linyan Haitza. The third benefit of having a friend, of acquiring a friend, is when it comes to advice. Shikachenu liot lo meir lazo b'chol inyano velakach nimeno etza tova. A friend is enlightening. You get good advice. So in order to get good advice, you have to be willing to share with a friend. Veliot ben sodo. And to be someone who you can confide in. We all need that. Acharei yoto imo bevrit, once you've come into a real pact, into a real relationship. V'lo yigalenu l'acharim pen yaferu machshavatecha. But a real friend doesn't give over secrets to other people. V'af lo lanirim elav ko'avim. And even people who you think are his friends, you don't tell them what he doesn't want them to know. Because you can't tell externally who's friend and foe. And people make this mistake repeatedly. They give over information and they are not discreet about other people's private information. But I thought he was your friend. Yes, you thought. And about this, King Solomon said, peace be upon him, hafer machshavot bein sod, uverov yoatzim takum. You destroy people's plans if you are indiscreet. And this is something we have to work on. And next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, or next time, we'll pick up with the question of why is it described as acquiring a friend? Why is it Knei Lecha Chaver?